This is David's Book Talk, bringing authors and book lovers together in a unique way since 2009. Visit us at davidsbooktalk.com and join the conversation at facebook.com/davidsbooktalk. But first, pull up a chair, relax, and enjoy today's episode. Here's your host, David English.
Hello and welcome to David's Book Talk, and we're going to talk to an old friend. Her name is Meg Gardner, and her new book is called Unsub, and it's out from Dutton. It comes out on June 27th, and which is tomorrow as we're taping this. Hello, how are you?
I am well. How are you?
Good. So you're here with a new series. We haven't talked to you in a long, long time. How have you been?
I've been fine. I have moved from London to Austin, Texas, so I'm now sitting here in a nice, hot Lone Star State and started this new series about a new young police detective, Caitlin Hendricks, and Unsub is the first book in the series.
And it's very compelling, let me tell you. It's one of these books that just, the vivid pictures as you're reading it are amazing. They're just like, ooh, what's going to happen next?
And I'm glad.
Is anybody safe in this town?
Well, I never want everybody to feel too safe. I mean, then you start writing safe stories, and then you lose the tension. So you want to be worried about everybody on the page.
Exactly. So, and even, I mean, poor Caitlin, and of course she's got a history with her dad and everything, and what this has done to her dad, I mean, we find out during the course of the book how much pain this has inflicted on her father.
Right, Caitlin is a young police detective, but her father was the lead investigator on a serial killer case in the 90s. And he was unable to catch the unknown subject, which is where the title comes from, this dreadful killer known as the Prophet. And the case really ruined Mac emotionally, tore his family apart, and he's never been the same. And honestly, in real life, these devastating, grim cases can take a toll on investigators. I mean, PTSD can be a real thing for homicide investigators who deal with these serial cases. But in the book, Mac doesn't want to have anything to do with it, he says, when the killer comes back, and he definitely wants Caitlin to have nothing to do with it because he doesn't want her life to get derailed the way his did.
But at the same time, you get this feeling that he's really tempted to get involved again anyway, even though he knows what it's done to him.
Of course. He's the one that knows more about the case than anybody. He keeps saying that he's not going to talk to the cops about what he knows, that there's no point, and that he knows if he gets involved, then that will give Caitlin an excuse to get involved, and he's afraid it will be dangerous for her physically and psychologically. But she's not too surprised to find out that he has never let the case go and never will be able to. So that factors into the story as well.
You wrote a book called, I think it was The Dirty Secrets Club. I think that was the one that really got me reading your books, if I remember correctly. It's been so many years. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing with a good author. You remember the good books. You remember the ones that really got to you. Because there are certain ones, you know, that like Silence of the Lambs, like, you know, the list goes on and on and on, but there's certain books that you'll never, A Place of Execution by Val McDermott stands out in my mind, one of the best mysteries ever. And you just, as a reader, you know, you want those kind of books. You want to feel like, wow, this is something great. This is something I can't wait to share with other people.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, I've got a bookshelf full of books like that, and it's always special when something comes along that you don't want to end as you're reading it. So
maybe you should post that to your Facebook.
That you like mine.
Maybe you should post that to your Facebook page so people can see what books you feel that way about. Because we're always curious.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at them now. That's a good point.
Well, people love that.
I get up. fun with you, yes.
And people love to get recommendations. I mean, this is the kind of book you sit in when it's dark and rainy out some night and you read and you start to see shadows coming across you. I mean, literally, this is, maybe you don't want to even be alone reading this book. Is it going to terrify people that much?
No, I hope not. A good thriller, it is like a roller coaster ride. It takes readers vicariously into the heart of darkness. It lets them dip their toes into the underworld, but it does it in a safe way. I mean, so many of us love crime novels and thrillers. We would hate to be faced with crime in real life, but we love it when an author can take us on this roller coaster ride and bring us back safely.
But look what Steve Hamilton says. The single most terrifying book of the past decade. That's pretty amazing to say something like that.
Well, I'm very honored that he would say that. I do hope that readers will gasp and bite their nails and grab the seats of their chairs as white knuckled. But that's because I hope they're fascinated by the story and are and care about the characters and hope that they'll all come out of it okay.
So how do you get into the mind of a serial killer and not only a serial killer but the people that are investigating? How do you do that? I mean, do you go and find people that have been through something like this and interview them, or what do you do? What helps you with this?
You start by reading. I've read, a ton of books written by former FBI agents about criminal profiling and their careers and the work they've done. You talk to cops. I rode along on patrol with the Austin Police Department, and you just try to get a sense of their lives. And of course, for this book, the killer that really sparked the villain in Unsub was the Zodiac, who was never captured, who murdered so many people in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Did they ever think they had him?
There were some strong suspects. Nobody has ever been arrested, even though there are, copious handwriting exemplars. There is DNA that, decades later people were able to identify, and despite many people having seen the Zodiac up close without his executioner's hood on, victims, witnesses, police officers all saw this guy, and nobody has ever been able to put a name to him definitively, much less arrest anybody.
Sounds like Jack the Ripper.
He'll be out there. After a while, the mythology starts to take over from the day-to-day investigation, and the fear, the mystery lingers, and so that was a place for me to start, having grown up in California and knowing how terrorized a lot of people were by this case. But from there on, you let your imagination run wild and see where it takes you.
I would think driving late at night in that area during that time must have been terrifying. I mean, you wouldn't want to stop for anybody or anything, and just for fear that, that's how you feel as you're reading this book. You're thinking, did anybody feel safe? Did even get out of your car? You almost feel like, why would, because it seems like
everybody didn't, but you wonder. I mean, I remember as a little kid lying awake, hearing the wind in the trees outside late at night and thinking, who knows what's out there.
What area was this that it happened in?
It was in the San Francisco Bay Area. So San Francisco, Valero.
How many people live in San Francisco Bay? Do you know of him?
4 million. Like that.
So
millions of people.
Yeah. So maybe we're safe, but the way the news is, especially today, there's just bad news all over the place. It seems like, and you look for that story that makes you feel better. I mean, I do anyway. And I think having to deal with so many things at once, like London has been dealing with, and
oh goodness, yeah, it's
I mean, the
but
sadness.
London spirit is London's spirit is strong, but it's been a rough time for them lately.
your heart goes out to them. And so, I guess we all need an escape, which is what books really are, I guess. But they're a good escape. I mean, you sit there and you enjoy something. You let the story play out, and it sort of like goes in your mind, and you start to see all the characters. And as this book is, I mean, the part about the horses was kind of compelling too. And I said, oh my God, these animals are all over the place. You know, it's little things like that that really get your mind going. You think, how would I handle something like all these things that are happening? And do you do that as you're writing them too? These books?
Well, yeah, you try. I want a thriller needs to thrill.
And you enjoy it.
I enjoy it. I write thrillers because I love reading thrillers. I love the tension, the suspense, you know, the roller coaster ride, the idea that these stories are about people facing some devastating crisis that has invaded their world and threatens to get worse, and they have to rise to the challenge, find the courage, the strength, the brains, brawn, guile, whatever, to overcome these forces of chaos and evil that have invaded their community before it gets worse. So I want readers to enjoy that same experience and to care about the people as if they were their real friends, neighbors, protectors, and see if they could put themselves in the situation, just like you said, and what they would do under these circumstances.
Now,
that's what fiction can do.
Right. Oh, you were a lawyer once?
I was.
So
I practiced law in Los Angeles. Yeah.
So I'm curious, did you come across evil people like this?
Oh, I'm sworn to client confidentiality.
Well, we don't have to name any names, but I mean, did you?
No. I did. I was not a criminal lawyer. I did commercial litigation, so civil cases in court. But you know, you are always running up against fascinating people who have their own motives, and in their own minds, they do things for what they think are very good causes. Sometimes those are twisted causes, but you have to try to understand what's going on.
Now, CBS bought the rights to this series?
They have, as an hour-long television drama, so I am thrilled about that.
So what's the plan? Is each book going to be a different season, or how's it going to work? Do you know yet?
They're still working that out. The production company, Timberman Beverly, that bought it, they do Elementary, and they did Justified.
Justified is wonderful.
Really strong, wonderful track record of making compelling crime drama, and the rest is in motion, and there will be updates as I am able to reveal them.
Wait, are you going to watch the filming, you think?
I would love to, but we'll have to see.
I'm
more likely to be involved behind the scenes, yes.
I would think, if I was the writer, I wouldn't want to stand there and say, no, that's not right. That's not what I meant. You can't do that, obviously, because
you have to set it free to some extent and let it become something new if you're going to turn it into adapt it for another.
Well, who you see in your mind? Do you see anybody that Caitlin looks like? Anybody famous that would be perfect to play Caitlin?
I like to leave that up to the readers and the producers, because everybody is their own casting director when they read a book. I've heard people suggest everybody from Katie Sackhoff to Michelle Monaghan to my son just goes, it has to be Ygritte from Game of Thrones. So it's quite a variety of people that readers imagine in their own minds. And for now, I'm going to leave it up to everybody to picture that.
You know who I see right away, and I don't know why, is that?
Oh, tell me.
Peggy from Mad Men, Elizabeth Moss.
Oh, Elizabeth Moss.
I love her.
She would be. I love her. She can do no wrong. She's amazing. So that's another interesting choice. Okay, I will try to picture Peggy.
I think that's. And she's doing that Handmaid's Tale, which I think is going to go into another season now.
I think so. Yeah.
Very gloomy, futuristic stuff. But people love that. People love gloominess now. What is it about? I mean, there's a lot of dark TV out there. A lot of dark things on TV and on Netflix. And we got women in prisons, and You never know what's coming.
Is that regarded as a comedy?
Yeah. And then I was watching The Mist over the weekend, that new series based on Stephen King's short story, and and that's a bit bizarre, too. And it's got the lady from American Horror Story in it, who was bizarre in that, and now she's going to be bizarre in this. You know, and it's, you just never know what's coming next. But I think Elizabeth Moss would be a perfect pick.
Okay.
I wish I had some power. She's the one going to do it, and I knew she would do it.
All right.
She doesn't have Mad Men anymore, so she's got the time.
Right.
I know she's doing a second season of Under the Lake. I think it was Under the Lake? Or Top of the Lake. Top of the Lake, excuse me. People out there are yelling at me like, you got the name wrong, idiot. No. It's like, Top of the Lake. She's doing another season of that with Nicole Kidman, I hear. Mm-hmm. And the first season, I don't know if you saw the first season, but it was phenomenal.
Okay. That will go into my queue as well.
And you see this really whacked out Holly Hunter who just goes literally off the reservation, and you'll know what I mean when you watch the show. You'll know, you'll get a laugh out of what I just said. But it's a very compelling show.
There's a lot of great drama on that really is raising the bar. So
they need something fresh.
Put it on my pile.
You need something fresh. I mean, to me, I think to a certain extent there's same old with TV. You know, they repeat what's good, what works they repeat. You know, and I mean we could have 15 more Bachelor shows before we're done. When do you get to the saturation point with those shows? You know, and everybody.
There are no Bachelors, no roses in Unsub. I tell you that.
Oh really? There's not one. There's no roses at all.
No roses in Unsub at all.
So that's really exciting for you. Now, have you already completed the next book? I know it's got a title already.
Yes, I have. So that it's a sequel. It's Caitlin's next case.
So is this going to be like every 6 months we're going to have a new book?
I don't know how fast I can type.
How fast can you type? We should test you.
The fastest I can type is about 85 words a minute, but that then it just becomes gibberish. So we'll have to see.
When the next book comes out, I want to talk. We don't have a lot of time here, but I want to talk much further in depth. So I hope we can arrange that because
absolutely, I would love it.
And you know, you're a fun person to talk to, and we wonder. As with any book like this, we wonder, what is in the mind of this author? You know, and how twisted is she? Is she really as twisted as the story is?
I am so normal.
What's normal anymore, though? That's the problem.
Well, that's it. What you have to do if you're going to write a psychological thriller is be willing to unlock the door to the basement, as Stephen King says, and bring up all the stuff that all of us have down there, our fears, our darkest imagination, and set it loose on the page in a compelling way.
Have you ever met Stephen King?
I have. He is delightful. He is totally sunny, laughs, is a super nice guy, and he has been extremely generous in supporting my work, so he is my favorite author.
He reminds you of like a kid in a candy store. Man, he's so excited about books and authors and TV and movies, and it's so much fun to listen. I miss his column in Entertainment Weekly, by the way. I used to love his column, and I don't know why he doesn't do it anymore. I guess he's busy writing, but
Busy writing, and we're all the better for it.
And what he recommends is just I immediately want to read it because I know it's going to be something interesting. He doesn't recommend stuff that's not interesting, and let's face it, there are some uninteresting stuff out there. We won't name any names, but you know who you are. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, there's stuff that's not going to appeal to you, and stuff that will. But is this going to appeal? Are your fans more male or female, or do you know?
It splits. I think probably more than 50% are female, but I have a lot of male fans who like reading about strong women who have strong men working these cases beside them and love the action, the kind of pulse pounding, high octane stuff that goes on in the books, but also want to have some depth of character. So you know, it appeals to everybody, I hope, men and women.
All right.
Teenagers, girls, and boys.
We have to say goodbye. It's so great. I wish we had more time, but we're going to do that for the next book. Let's plan on that.
And would love it.
And the book, again, is called Unsub. It's just out tomorrow from Dutton. This has been David's Book Talk, and we'll talk to you next time. Thank you.
You have just enjoyed the podcast of David's Book Talk, brought to you by your host, book lover David English. Please visit us at davidsbooktalk.com, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and subscribe to our podcast. We want to hear from you, and we don't want you to miss our upcoming shows with top authors like Mary Higgins Clark, Patricia Cornwell, Lisa Scottolini, Jackie Collins, Nelson DeMille, Michael Connelly, Sue Grafton, Steve Martini, Dale Brown, David Baldacci.